Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Interfaith Sunday Services on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Every week, we broadcast Sunday services at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central Time, for all our global listeners. Our metaphysical ministers bring interfaith messages of enlightenment and upliftment, specifically available to all those who are open to hear the word of God the Creator. We welcome you with an open heart and warmest blessings.
Good morning. This is the monthly call for the Light Giver International Association. These calls happen each third Sunday, and there are many things happening throughout the month, but we enjoy this particular call because it is a discussion call, and today's topic is the Golden Age Light Giver Message Number 6. So we'd like to get started with discussion today. And as I begin, I was very intrigued by this message because it broadens and expands the whole topic of love, which is a wonderful thing. I was just reminded I should give you my name. I'm Vivian, and my co-facilitator is Bella, and she'll be on in just a little bit. So I want to read just a few sentences from this Light Giver message because it talks about love and then we can get into a discussion. Here goes. We are the Light Givers. Today we will speak of the grand illusion and great truth called love. Love is a term that embeds itself in rhapsodies of romance, sacrifice, charity, and so forth. What is simply not understood is that the versions or visions of love had by most humans are only the barest essence of what the love energy truly is. Imagine, if you will, the magnetism of iron filings felt from a magnet, or the energy that holds the neutrons, protons, and quarks of the atoms in place. Think of gravity. Would you call them love? Would you say the protons and neutrons are in love with each other? Of course not. Interestingly enough, it is exactly the same force that you know in the human form as love. It is the energy of Source, the most powerful attraction and binding force in the universe. In its highest form, love binds the replicas of the Creator, which you are, to the Creator. Only the illusions and distortions of the third dimensional reality prevent total union. So every thought, every single action, every single vision, everything is a pure reflection of the Creator. That says a lot to me. I was struck by the fact that love is the grand illusion at the same time as being the great truth. And for me, you know, I experience love here in the world, and I think of it as a great truth. But what we're learning here is that it's just the tiniest bite, the tiniest drop of what real love is. And in fact, it speaks to love being this energy force that really has created everything in the universe. So I'm wondering how this struck other people or what they thought of when they were reading this particular part or any part of message number 6. Bella, what did you think of when you actually read this?
It sounds like a great revelation because we normally associate love with love, you know, romantic love, love, you know, of the child, mother, you know, child love, love of the country. It could be anything, right? Mm-hmm. And what we consider love of the Creator in a way separates us, because, you know, we feel that we are, you know, separate from the Creator. We don't feel the unity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very true.
But, you know, one of the things, like, you know, when you start thinking about it, sometimes people want to fall in love, but they don't receive it. They don't feel like they're receiving it. It's the blockage. So whatever we are blocking, you know, in us to experience the Creator and, you know, this love, we're also blocking it, you know, from any other expression of love.
Yes. And, you know, Bella, for me, I think originally that blockage, well, it was many things, but it was the thought that I was not part of the Creator, that I was not that energy. I was somehow separate, because in life, when I grew up, and I'm sure this is true for many people, we learn to separate everything out. Everything fits into a box. And when I went to church, I was never given the idea that I was part of this God self, this beautiful energy. We talked about a lot of things, but that was not part of it. So I think the thought itself never came to me until these studies, particularly in the Light Giver messages, where that whole concept of our being part of source energy and being part of God and being God itself in a lower or a different partial manifestation finally came to light, so to speak.
Yes, if you allow yourself to experience it, it just opens, you know, the whole new universe to you.
Yes, yes, yes. And so many times in my life, it has been my thinking self that overpowers the heart self. You know, the heart is usually touched by love. You know, when we see something loving occurring, or when we see sacrifice, those are the things that touch my heart. And yet that is such a small piece of the expanded view of the Creator love for us and in us.
Okay, so we are, you know, part of the Creator, therefore we've got this sparkle of love, but because we are in the third dimension, it's hard for us to really comprehend it.
Yes.
Okay, so as light givers, how can we expand ourselves to the point where we are one with the Creator, and we can also transmit this energy of love from the Creator and feel that we're one with the Source? So I just wonder whether we have any callers on this call who might be also participating in this discussion.
Thanks for asking, Bella. This is Lynn, and there are two callers. I'll open the lines. The first one I'm going to open is area code 757. If you'd like to say hello and let us know if you have something to add to the discussion.
Hi there. I don't have anything particular to add to the discussion. I'm just really absorbing what everyone else is saying. But I do want to add that one thing I learned from oneness meditation is that the root cause of all attachment is a lack of love. So I take this to mean that any problem that we're facing, the root cause of that is experiencing lack of love. And I think we try to get that love in the wrong way, just experiencing love just through the body, but not through the heart, not through the divine source of the best, perfect love.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, and I'll just leave your line open for the time being, but I have another caller I'm going to bring in, and this is an unidentified number. It just comes up on here as 111. But if you have anything you'd like to say, this is a chance.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was going to make a comment about love. I have felt love from my spirit, which have taught me everything in that I have been doing my whole life. I am a spiritualist and psychic. I have felt, of course, the love of animals, not just human, but I have been in touch with Jesus, and I have felt some love from him, great love. And it's a wonderful thing, not just through a man, but the love of all the relatives and just different aspects of love. Even just a love from the light source. A lot of people, I imagine, haven't experienced it, but it's something that is hard to explain because I imagine it's part of the universal love.
Thank you. Is this Susan? Susan, thank you for your comments. I was taken by what you said about pets. I had not thought about that as I was reading this. And I think animals and birds and other species can often be a bridge. Yes, nature in totality can be a bridge to learning to accept that love in a bigger way. Whereas with humans... We oftentimes have these conditions, but usually with no conditions.
Perfect
right.
timing. It's 11:11 when you talked about the love of animals and unconditional love that you get from. So it must be true. It's interesting that when the gentleman was talking about, you know, this... experience of love and that love comes from the Creator, I just, you know, had a feeling that, you know, one of the blockages that we might have is, you know, not feeling worthy of God's
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder whether you ever questioned it. I don't know the name of the gentleman, but, you know, I wonder whether it's part, you know, of the theme that he's experiencing in this lifetime.
Well, I guess I have, because I guess I've jumped through different religions wondering, you know, which one has the best God, I guess you could, I guess that's what ran through my mind. But I guess now I'm just becoming more spiritual, and I have that personal divine that I want it to be, that's most empowering and most loving.
That sounds great, because ultimately just the religion just shows us the path, but it's the experience of our spirituality that really brings it together. So no matter which religion we choose or whether we choose, you know, to be outside of the box of any religion, we still can experience the same love of the Creator.
This is Lynn, and I've got a question, and it goes along with the first question that was in this reading for today. It's, well, if you're on a 8.5 by 11 page, it's about half the way down, where it says, do you see how erroneous it is to walk around every day thinking that because you feel love for all life, that somehow you are experiencing the highest form of its expression? And then it goes on to talk about romantic novels and other images that we have that relate to that idea. But I just wondered what anybody thought about that comment.
Well, human love is probably one of the lowest forms of love. Not to say it's not a good one, but it's not... it's not even in the middle. I mean, I've experienced more love sometimes from my animals than humans.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be funny, but the most love I have felt is from the light itself. And actually, one of my spirit guides has saved my life. Actually, more than one. But I was in the hospital 2 years ago, actually three now, and I wasn't meditating or anything. I was just there in the middle of the night. And my spirit, the ancient one, who has other names, knew I was in great pain and suffering. And I know he saved my life because after he finished talking to me, relating with me, I got a message from a supposed nurse that turned out to be an angel. She came to me and she said she was in contact with Jesus and he had a message for me. And he told her I needed a hug. And she came in from a different floor of the hospital. She had been in critical care unit. She came down, talked to me and made it clear where her message was coming from, and she reached out to me and hugged me and talked to me a few more minutes. And that night I had asked to see the nurse again, and there was no such nurse on the floor.
Oh.
It was a wonderful experience from all three, from the message from Jesus that he knew where I was, he knew what was going on, and he was definitely sending me an angel. And that woman had just kind of vanished. So that was one of my strongest feelings of love from all three.
And not only was it a feeling, it sounds like, but it surpassed what the mind would have done with limiting that, you know.
Right,
I think
right.
Religion often limits us and our own belief systems about this spirit of life, this source, energy. We limit it so much that if we allow others in that way to define it, it's very hard for us to experience it. So it's wonderful that you felt it and then that your mind could simply accept that and let the heart have its way.
Yes, because I've had many, and I even asked Jesus, I said, why aren't you tired of healing me yet? And he laughed at me and he said, that will never happen because I have been poisoned several times, actually at least three times. I have had many near-death experiences starting at the age of 17 and a half, and I can tell you what day, what year, because I did experience death. And the outcome was not sad or anything like that. The outcome made me what I am now, a spiritualist. I'm in direct contact with spirit, but I have been since I would say approximately 5 years or younger. But there are many kinds of love, but the animals give you love, and of course spirits and Jesus give you love. If you can accept it, you can experience it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, this is Lynn again. Thank you for those comments. I guess what I was kind of struck by in that initial question is that the idea of the highest form of love, where it says that we think or we assume that because we feel love, we're feeling the highest form of love. And I know I've felt that way. I mean, I never thought of there as being in, you know, in a practical third dimensional sense, degrees of love. I mean, other than, you know, like there's love for family, love for a lover, love for pets. I distinguish them into categories like that, but they all seem to me to be the highest form of love if I was experiencing them. But when this just struck me of, well, okay, let's put it in a context of highest form. All right, what is that?
The highest form is when we pass into spirit, connecting directly with God Source.
Bella, when you started the conversation, this is Lynn still, you mentioned third dimension at some point, or dimensionality, and that's the piece that is kind of lighting up for me, in that I'm in a process of discovering multidimensionality in myself and in the world around me and in my desire to live as a fifth-dimensional being and to know what that means and to remember that experience and so forth. And also from the work that Vivian and I do with Back to Brilliance, where we experience brilliance, which is connected to that fifth-dimensional state of who we are, and it's outside of time and space. It's not relative to the third dimensional world where we have the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, and but there's this kind of oneness that where it all of that is expressed in what I would consider total love. And so it was just kind of coming at me from the perspective of how do you look at love? If you look at it through the eyes of third dimension, you're going to see some of the aspects. Then if you shift it to multi-dimension or fifth dimension, it's going to expand quite a bit more.
And you become love itself. When you are in higher dimensions, you are really not bound then to all the limitations of the third dimension. That's how I feel. And then time, you know, stops to exist, and you just are there. So you don't question anything. That's the way I experience it. And it definitely, you know, then you don't need another human being to hold you because you're already, you know, in the arms of the Creator, and you are created. I feel you can create from that dimension much, much easier,
mm-hmm.
being there.
Through
the outside. So it's interesting when you talked about, you know, experiencing this light, you know, when you were in the hospital, I just had this vision that, you know, I'm talking about one of our callers, that, you know, you also created for yourself, you know, some obstacles, like you have to suffer in order to be closer to God. I mean, we all have some beliefs. That was one of your beliefs, because that you thought would bring you closer to the Creator. So you created several, you know, close-to-death experiences through suffering, you know, to get closer to God. But I'm saying that it's not, I suppose, necessary for us, you know, in order to be, you know, part of this unity with the Creator.
Are you directing that at any particular caller?
Yes, yes. I mean, the lady who was talking about, you know, being in the hospital and getting, you know, saved by, you know, her archangel.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's part of it, like, we don't allow ourselves, you know, to be and just to be like that because we feel that, you know, we have to overcome something in order to be closer to the Creator.
Personally, I've had similar things where I have had, like, serious health conditions where where, you know, it was near death. I didn't have any miraculous experiences with angels or anything like that, but after it was all said and done, I felt closer to God. I think that was my way of living with the circumstance to believe that, you know, after it all was said and done, I'm a stronger person. And now I can really accept God's love on me because I made it through it all.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, a lot of people experience love of the Creator this way. But I think, as you know, universal healers and light givers, we can do it a simpler way. And that's what, you know, we welcome. Because once we go to higher dimensions, we don't need to suffer anymore. Mm-hmm. We can just be this love and light ourselves and transmit it to other beings, mm-hmm. including animals as well.
Mm-hmm. Bella, I think, this is Vivian, and I'm not just speaking to you, but I think some of those experiences prove to us that this spirit of life is supporting us. And then, for me, it's like then that is what pushes me to want more and to know more and to have that more often in my life. In fact, all the time, the third dimension has a way of pulling that away, my vision away from source to other things. But some of those life experiences in my life have just, I can say pushed me, but motivated me to really seek the higher truth.
I agree with you on this, but I'm saying, you know, this is our way to experience it.
Absolutely.
Through, you know, some
really, I agree with
filters. But, you know, what I'm saying is it's not necessary, and I do hope that the next generations would learn from us, you know, and will do it an easier way.
Yes, I hope so, too, and I think that is coming. I really do.
Is it just believing that you can accept the love
without
suffering?
When you work on your system, you know, on your belief system, because there are certain things that bring us to these experiences. So if we bring from other lifetimes, you know, this belief that we have to suffer to be closer to God, that's what we'll experience. So if we remove this belief, then we can experience God a different way, without suffering.
Now, is the removal of that belief just as easy as saying it, or does it take some kind of meditation practice or something?
There are certain processes that, you know, you can do. One of them is through theta healing. I think that association can also help, right, Vivian?
Yes, very much. We're doing a World Source Nation ceremony at the end and of our discussion, and that is one way that those beliefs and blockages can be removed. We then need to tend to keeping them away, and that may take some work, but the Source Nation exists on the Light Giver website. It's lightgivers.org, or, you know, you can explore that there, but we'll do one today as well.
Okay, guys, so on the letter again, there was something else that kind of struck me, and I wanted to know what you thought about this. It says, we exist because God loves us. And it says, that God is love. And then it says, both of these are silly when you consider them. Okay, the Creator is much more than love. Can somebody explain that? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means that, you know, love is a specific perception that runs through our minds. And we, our perception of the divine is limited, unfortunately, since we're just humans, to our mind perception of what love is. And God is much more than, God is way beyond any type of human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like that part where it went on to say that we exist because we are God, mm-hmm. in limited manifestation, with the divine purpose of gaining unlimited manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, okay, now I'm on the right ship.
But
you know,
in order to create, you have to be, you know, in a higher realm, right? So if you are stuck in the third dimension, it's much harder to manifest. You can manifest, you know, your thoughts very easily, especially the negative ones, right? But, you know, to manifest something really, you know, higher for the benefit of everyone, you have to be in a different, you know, dimension in a way.
You know, we have had infusions of more divine light into the world, and they've been increasing in frequency and in power. And I know that I have seen my habits change. And one of the things that has happened to me that I will share is that I know that love is working and that it is part of me, because more and more often, instead of feeling love or feeling anything, any judgment, I am feeling absolute neutrality. And this is something I've wanted, and I never could quite put my fingers on it. And I thought, well, if I get to neutral, you know, will my life be any fun? Well, I'm still having fun, but more and more often, where I would have had a thought, a judgment, you know, some kind of box to put something into, I am in this quiet, peaceful place of neutrality. And I think that's the place that is the source of love. So that's occurring, and it wasn't unbidden. I want that, but it snuck up on me, you know. And I think it is the power of the love that is coming, is here in the universe, that has assisted me with that.
You're talking about no judgment, but, you know, do you still experience the emotions, like if you read something or see a movie where, you know, you feel, you resonate with it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Neutrality in terms of non-judgment, but not
other
things. Yes.
Right.
I've had similar presumptions about becoming awakened and becoming liberated, that once you actually achieve this goal, that you won't enjoy life anymore. You won't have fun. You won't have that emotional roller coaster that sometimes we enjoy. But what I find more is that once you actually become liberated, you're clearing yourself of so many blockages that you become a really amazing vessel for receiving God's love and God's grace, because you're just so clear from all these blockages that it just flows right through you. And that's really what you want. When you're on that emotional roller coaster, you might have some highs where you feel really loved. But instead, when you become liberated, all your blockages are clear, and you receive what you really wanted all along, but what you didn't know that you wanted. You achieve that liberation, that awakening that you didn't know existed.
Thank you. I really resonate with what you just said. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And in my own life, I have found out, too, that we are used in ways that, because we are clear vessels as much as we can be, that we are used in ways that we're sometimes not even aware of, particularly in spreading this light through the world.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think just our presence and being a clear vessel in society, we have an effect on the collective consciousness, you know, of our neighborhood, of our community, of our city, you know, and absolutely of the world at large.
Yes.
I agree with you. It's interesting that, you know, once you really connect to the Creator, you can manifest a lot of things. Like, you know, during the Hurricane Sandy, I did manifest, you know, a lot of things in our community so that people wouldn't suffer so much.
Whoa, fabulous. Fabulous.
So it was like a miracle in a way, because our community is just at the ocean, so it could have been wiped out completely, and yet, you know, we were spared. None of the houses was, you know, destroyed, so it was a miracle.
Yes, and you were instrumental in creating that.
Well, I did consciously, you know, manifest it with the Creator's love. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And again, you know, would you have thought that 20 years ago that that was possible? I think this evolution of our understanding of spirit and that we are part of it and that we can direct it to the good is just growing by leaps and bounds and hopefully growing throughout the world. I actually think it is.
Yes, I do feel acceleration every year, you know, of the power of our, you know, beings and that we are also the source of the Creator, and we are manifestors. I do feel, you know, that the power is increasing in us. Yes.
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't think that 5 years ago I would be able to think in these terms.
I know I wouldn't.
I could see, you know, my influence on one human being at a time at that time. But now we can influence thousands, and that is a great feeling.
Yes.
Bella, I didn't want to tell you this early in the call because I don't want to change the focus of the conversation, but I do know you from being a follower of Siva Bhava, and we did have some correspondence over email and Skype a long time ago. If you remember.
Are you, what is your first name, Shiv?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I do remember you. I thought that was your voice, but I wasn't sure. Great.
Nice to have you on the call.
Yeah.
Are there any other thoughts in terms of love or our existence as a part of God, God in limited manifestation, moving toward full and unlimited manifestation? Is there anything else that is on anyone's mind?
I had this question about something that was on the message. It talked about protons and neutrons and that not being love. Now, when I first read this, I thought that it would be like, you know, some really spiritual, poetic analogy of saying that the electron is always spinning around the neutron, so loyal and so dedicated, so loving. Now, is this an incorrect way of interpreting it? Because on the message it says that it's not love.
Well, here's what I got out of that. It said, would you call them love? And in our world, in our third dimension, no, we wouldn't. We wouldn't even think that that source of energy would be called love. But he does, the light givers do say, it says, interestingly enough, it is exactly the same force that you know in the human form as love. So I think in that second paragraph, that really clarifies it, that yes, we wouldn't call it that, but indeed it is. It is that source energy. So that's how I read that, Shiv. I'm not sure what you think about that, but.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
It's interesting. There is, you know, the Higgs boson that might be considered the particle of love, like the smallest particle of love that brings us to the place, you know, of the creation.
That's a nice way to think about it.
In terms of I'm not. I think this is science, in the sense of third dimensional science, where we work with electrons and protons and neutrons and that those concepts, and think of them as our sources of energy. You know, that's one way of looking at it. Then when you switch into the quantum physics, and you get this whole other expansion of zero-point energy, and yet it's really all the same, or parts of the same, depending on what level you're looking at it from. It, you know, it's like that. It always comes back to that, I can't think of what's the rule, where when you see it, it's there, and when you're not seeing it, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And I think that kind of, too, relates to what the bigger message of this article is for me. And it also connects exactly with what's going on in my life right now as far as what I'm learning every day. And that is this journey to find out who I am. And I think of, you know, going through the various initiations available or ascensions available through the Lightgivers program, and particularly going through the Source Ascension, where you become conscious of self as Source, and yet there's this self part of it, and then moving out and expanding into a greater awareness of, well, how everything is Source and how it's all part of this universal love and wholeness and flow. And there's something in there that's coming in almost every day now with some little kind of teaser about, and you're that too, you know. And then it gets bigger all the time. It becomes so much more than I'd ever seen as the possibilities. And all of a sudden, being a human being is an amazing gift. And who we are, I think, is the biggest secret going,
mm-hmm.
that we have. We don't begin to get, or maybe you do, but I haven't, you know, I'm just like on a daily basis being blown away by these revelations of what it is to be a human being now, here.
Mm-hmm. At its fullest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any last thoughts before we do the World Source of Nation ceremony?
Do you want a station break?
No. Well, we'll go ahead then with that. But before we do, I just want to say this was a very wonderful conversation to have this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed it and learned, again, as I always do, more and more from other people's perceptions and sharing. So thank you all. I do want to now proceed with the World Source of Nation ceremony, and we welcome your presence with us. Source of Nation assists us in removing any negative energies and spiritual blockages and replacing them with divine multiplied healing light. Source of Nation is being made of by the higher beings to support the advancement and upliftment of individuals who have gone as far as they can go on their spiritual path. As we begin the Source of Nation ceremony, you may silently ask whomever you look to spiritually to fulfill the following requests. Please remove any and all inhibiting beliefs. Please remove any and all beliefs that enable inhibiting beliefs and any and all spiritual blockages. Please remove any and all agreements made by me or anyone on my behalf that have resulted in blockages to my physical health and spiritual evolution. Please remove any and all connections to others, not of light and love, that have resulted in blockages to my physical health and spiritual evolution. Please remove any and all beings not of light and love, inside and outside my aura, that have resulted in blockages to my physical health and spiritual evolution. Please remove all influences from the past that have resulted in blockages to my physical health and spiritual evolution. Finally, we ask to be forgiven by all those that we may have offended knowingly or unknowingly. We forgive all those who may have offended us knowingly or unknowingly. And lastly, we forgive ourselves. We also ask that we be surrounded by a shield of divine healing light that is calibrated to be impenetrable by all negative energies, forces, and beings. As we complete this ceremony, know that your divine light now flows freely and fully into the world, connecting with all that is divine everywhere. Thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning in our Light Giver discussion of the Golden Age message, and we look forward to having you on our next call, and that will be the third Sunday in December. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Dana, thanks.
Hmm.